He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Hello to our listeners in this week's version of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. As we are heading towards July, we haven't gotten there yet. We're still in June. The 2027 cars are starting to be introduced. You know, how early can you get before you get looking? You know, we're halfway through the year, just about halfway through the year of 2026, and they're already bringing out 2027s, or at least they're being written about. And one, there are a couple of things. Chevrolet Silverado trucks are coming back. Also, besides 27s coming online, V8 engines are coming back to some of the trucks that lost them to four cylinders and six cylinders, and General Motors is one of them that are bringing back the V8s to their Silverado pickup line for 2027. Hallelujah. You know, this whole problem of what engines should be in cars has been going downhill towards four cylinders for the last couple of years. And I, for the life of me, I've never driven, well, I haven't driven a General Motors truck in a long time, but for a while, and they still are producing them, they have got turbo four cylinders in some of their Silverado lineups. And I don't know why I would want to have a pickup truck with a four cylinder turbo in it. It's a pickup truck like a Silverado or even a Ford 150. And I think that that's what the manufacturers or the makers of pickup trucks are finding out. Dodge took their V8s out of their Ram pickups. I think there are now V8s back in certain lines of the Ram pickups, but they reduced them all to six cylinders. And they've got this new straight inline six, I think it's a turbocharged engine, which was supposed to replace all the V8 powerful engines of the yesteryear in the Ram pickups. In any event, that's what you want to know in pickup truck land. Go ahead, well, Jay.
You should know why we could have four-cylinder turbo engines in pickup trucks. There's no reason we shouldn't. Those engines make more power and more torque than V8s of just a few years ago, and probably than half the V8s that are offered as alternatives. You know, four-cylinder turbo engine these days produce easily 300 horsepower, and that is and they're more economical and more compact, and that would be a very good reason to replace the V8s with them, especially if you factor the fact that you can have these 9 or 10 speed transmissions that actually keep the engines in their ideal operating RPMs. So there's a good reason, but to have smaller engines, whether it's the four cylinder turbo or the inline six that Ram has,
Atlantis, yeah.
But people want the V8s, so.
Well,
V8s.
Your points are well made and well taken, certainly from the manufacturer's point of view. I think the problem is up in the heads of the users of pickup truck like vehicles, which is what you were just touching on as I interrupted you. The problem is really with the thought process of our heads. As I said earlier,
not mine.
Well, I know, but neither of us have driven a loaded pickup truck. You know, the whole thing with the electric pickup trucks was sort of a fraud because electric pickup trucks, when Ford 150 and even Chevy came out, were great as long as they were unloaded. They were faster than the V8s in acceleration. They cost a lot less to run, both in maintenance and then cost of charging, but they didn't take off. And then there were tests about loaded electric trucks, and they all ran out of juice in the first 150 miles of their so-called 250 to 325 mile range.
Well, hold on.
I don't know whether that happens, Jay. I'll let you have
it
in a minute.
Of course it does. But if you load a gas-powered pickup truck or vehicle, or diesel pickup truck or vehicle. And I've said this over and over before. When I tow my big trailer with my SUV with my diesel, which is designed to pull and is capable of towing 7,000 pounds, I get half the mileage than when the vehicle is empty, which means I can have the range. So it's exactly the same.
I have no problem with all that, Jay. I have no problem with all that for our listeners either. The problem is the range is not limited by 15 miles a gallon on your Touareg because you've got a 25-gallon tank. Whereas you don't have a 400-mile battery in a pickup truck. You only have whatever the battery comes with it. And when it's loaded, you run out, you know, if you run out of range in a pickup truck fully loaded at 150 miles, you don't run out of range in your Touareg at 150 miles. You'd run out from maybe 350 down to 275 or something like that.
No, I go from 600 to 300, exactly.
Well, okay, but you still got 300 minimum, which is the psychological barrier. I think a lot of people have been talking about.
All right, so we're going around.
I know. I want to stop.
I do want to say a couple of things in favor of the V8 versus the four-cylinder turbo. There are less. And I'm being very cautious. There seem to be less reliability issues with the V8s. There's no turbos that can blow or become defective after a certain mileage, and they overall seem more reliable than the smaller turbocharged engines. But again, like in Ram's case, the six-cylinder, whatever they call their Fury or Dragon
Hurricane,
or whatever,
I think it is, and then a Hurricane.
The Hurricane. You know, spec to spec, it is a better engine, a more capable engine than their V8. It's neither here or there. But on the other side of things, I just read a blurb about a Rivian pickup truck having towed a pretty substantial camper trailer. It looked like a 26 to 28 foot tag trailer. And they had gotten, I think, 350 or 400, close to 400 miles of range towing that trailer.
That's great.
So maybe they were going all downhill. I don't know.
Okay.
We can move on from the whole truck.
Yeah, yeah. I was getting into the 2027 model year vehicles, and I got stuck on the trucks. With the return to the V8 engine in the Chevys, I'm looking at a picture of the 2027 A6 Audi Allroad coming back to the country, and there's a picture of it in Motor Trend. You probably saw it. It's coming to America. The headline here in the article is "New Dirt Ready Wagon." You know,
so a couple of things about that A6.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
It has the flares, the wider body, same as the RS6, which is a high-performance, sporty A6 right. wagon. And they're putting the same body work on the Allroad. And I'm not sure why. It certainly gives it an aggressive stance, and it looks good. And I'm sure they'll sell them because people want these Allroad-type vehicles if they're going to have anything resembling a wagon. What I was also going to say is I saw on the road this morning an Audi Q6, and I'm not sure whether we have the Q6 stateside or not, but the Q6 is an electric SUV, and I looked at it, and it's kind of bland and kind of Audi-esque, but it also has all the right proportions and quote unquote the right size. It's not too big, it's not too small, and it's an electric vehicle. I do not know the specs, but I thought, that would do really well on our side of the pond.
I think it would. I'm sure.
And maybe it's on. I haven't had time to check whether it's on the market in the U.S. or not, or whether it will be.
I believe it is, Jay. Believe it is.
Good, because they're going to do well with that. It is also the trend. What I see here with European manufacturers is that they are blending their electric vehicle lineups with the ICE lineups. There's no distinction anymore with the E this and electric this and funny looking vehicles just because they're electric. And since they've been doing that, they seem to be doing a lot better. Case in point, Mercedes started out with a pretty weird looking lineup of electric vehicles with the EQS and EQE, and their newer vehicles, whether it's the Class C or the SUVs coming out now, look totally qu quote unquote normal.
Well,
And they're doing quite well.
part of that, I think, is because they've designed the new platforms to be able to be built with either an electric powertrain in within it and or an ICE powertrain in it. So that takes
Some
away the need
are,
to.
yeah, some are like the CLA class Mercedes is designed to be either full ICE hybrid or full electric, which is a pretty tough thing to do from an engineering standpoint.
Right, but it's the only way to do it for, I think, for the economics of production capability and allowing them to try to build both types of vehicles with a common platform instead of having to have two separate platforms, which is
And,
certainly the way it was in the beginning.
until everybody goes full electric every
Right.
day.
Well, I know you're ready for that, and someday that will be there, but I think it's a long way off. our engineer producer produced an email of something called a Tilo pickup truck, Jay, which I had not known anything about before that email came in this morning about our show. I didn't really, I looked at the pictures. I do not know what level of readiness it is to match something like, or to compete with something like the Slate, which we have talked about off and on. Do you have any comment about it?
I took a quick look at their website. I wasn't really aware of them either. I
I
think
don't
it
think
looks
they're even producing yet, are they? I'm pretty
I think it looks a little like a Tonka toy, or that vehicle that's for sale
Yeah, it's your
in
favorite.
Lakeville. But it's an interesting concept. I think it's from what I think the size of it is, it seems a little overpriced to me, and it seems like it's coming into a very
Limited.
I was going to say crowded market, but which actually it isn't, because there are not a lot of small pickup trucks on the market, that are fully electric pickup trucks on the market just yet. But I think that will change. So
I think
we'll
Ford's
see.
got one under development, Jay.
Yep.
It's a mid-size or small size, smaller size electric truck. I don't know when it's coming out, and I haven't read much about it. But I think you're right. I think there's going to be electric, all electric, smaller pickup than the F-150. Whether that is going to take hold like the F-150 apparently didn't, I don't know.
I did a quick a few clicks on the Tilo configurator, and I think I came up with a price of just under $60,000
What
for that
for the
pickup truck.
Tilo?
Yeah.
Well, to that I'll
So
make
I
a quick comment about that. I will go out and buy I would go out and buy a Ford Maverick hybrid before I'd even think about $60,000 for that little mini pickup. And or I'd buy a Slate, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know. Jay Leno might buy one, but I don't know whether Jay DeMarco or Robin Leach would. And I'm not at 60,000. You spec'd it out, and that's what you got to.
I think it was in the high 50s, and that was
Well,
for
yeah.
an all-wheel drive model with I might have added one or two options, but I didn't option everything. So I don't know. And I don't know what the size is. I did not look at the specs. I didn't look at the motor specs. We'll see where
Well, it
that
certainly
goes.
looks small in the pictures, right? Since you
Yes.
compared it to the blue Mini that's for sale on our Route 44 to Millerton Road, for anybody
Well,
who
it had
wants to
kind
drive
of the
that,
same
look
look. It had
at
kind of the same look, like, which was, we don't know if it's a flat nose or if it's going to have a front hood. It seemed like an in-between situation, but we'll see. I don't
Okay,
even know
we'll
who to
see.
get. We'll
We'll
find out
see.
more by next week.
Yeah.
Might I add in, since I'm the one that sent it?
Yes.
It's a flat nose, Jay, and interestingly enough, it accommodates four people. It's about to the size of the minis as far as the overall, and that's the big thing. It's a small truck with a lot because the bed is out there at 4 foot wide plus, and the fold down in the front allows you to put in material that's 8 feet in length as well. And
without hanging off the back?
Without hanging off the back, yeah. You can open it up to a full eight-foot bed if you put down the rear seats. So it's a truly interesting concept that I was looking at. And, you know, as I said, something that I would almost entertain in an electric because of all the parameters around it. So, and no, it's not manufacturing yet, but they're looking at some point to get it manufacturing soon. They're taking the pre-orders with $152 down. So that's the long and the short. Well, it's supposedly the length of the vehicle or something like that, that dimension. But yeah, it's still an interesting thing. It's very different from the Slate, though, in that, you know, it has that fold in for the bed. I don't think it has a lot of add-ons and stuff to it. But again, you know, as you were saying, it's a blunt nose. So it's more like a van on the front. They're the old style vans they used to have with no bump out whatsoever. And then a big understory.
You know, we know what became of minivans in the U.S., right?
Yeah, that we do.
I rest my case.
But time will tell. The big thing for me on a truck bed is I always look for a working truck to have at least, you know, an 8-foot bed on it. And this does have a 4-foot by 8-foot bed available to you when you want to use it. So anyway, I will back away now and you guys carry on.
Thank you for your interjection. We'll wait to see if we see one around our corner. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. But, you know, I'm looking back at this Audi off-road wagon. And the wagons, the way they used to be, and that's way back for many of our listeners who weren't around,
yeah, they were wooden.
Squared off at the back, and they were actually functionally designed as opposed to aerodynamically designed, which is what I'm looking at with this Audi off-road, and Jay knows, and probably the Q6 and all of them. The slope of the back makes it look like if you were to try to put a square box in, you would lose about, well, I don't know what the real depth between the roof line top is and the tailgate, the lift gate attachment where it clips into the lower half, but it is a real sloping aerodynamic design, which to me would, you know, they show a picture of the interior and it looks like it's a huge interior where the seats are down and all that for storage things. But boy, you can't put square packages anywhere near the rear of the loading deck of this car, because if they were square to the depth of the, to the height of the roof, they wouldn't be able to close the back end. And I guess it's all about aerodynamics and mileage as opposed to functionality, as they call wagons. You think back to the Volvo wagons. You think back to the Volvo wagons, and you see what a wagon really used to look like and still does in relation. Jay, go ahead.
Robin, wagons are all about style and class, and you either have it or you don't.
And not that function, you're saying.
Well, there's some function, but
there is
style
function
and class. So I want to get back to that Q6 I was talking about. We for sure have the Q6 is a vehicle that's offered on the U.S. market. And it brings me to something else I was looking at in the last few days. As we know, I'm a big fan of the electric Porsche Macan. And I'm also very interested by the new Rivian R2. And arguably, those two vehicles are kind of the same size, kind of do the same thing, but there's a difference in price point between a Rivian R2 and a Porsche Macan. So what I did, I went to Google AI and I did, hey, I would like to see a little comparison and some charts comparing the following SUVs. And I had put in the BMW iX3, the Rivian R2, the Tesla Y, BMW I mentioned, and a Mercedes. And since then, I've added the new Volvo, and this is the Audi Q6 is something we could add on to. And so the Volvo, the Audi, and the Mercedes are definitely in the 60, and the BMW are in the $60,000 to $65,000 plus range, and the Mercedes goes easily up to $80,000, and that's still substantially cheaper than the Macan, which is anywhere from just under $100,000 to well over $100,000. But it's also a lot more money than a Rivian or a Tesla Y. And then, you know, but when you look at the charts and the comparisons of these vehicles, they all offer some pretty compelling arguments. And in the end, you know, the great thing with AI is I just said, hey, this is what I kind of like. I like to stand out. I like to stand out in the crowd. I don't want to drive the same thing as everything else. And the first thing that AI responded to me was like, well, you definitely don't want to get a Tesla Y then, because it's the best-selling car on the planet. And
okay.
And so it came down to, A, the Rivian was a great choice. But, you know, we also know that the Rivian is brand new to the market. So we don't know. Nobody's ever sat in one. Nobody's ever driven one. Wow. We're just relying on
It's just a smaller R1. So if you've driven an R1.
No, it's very different. No, it's totally different.
Well,
no, it looks the same, but it's not the same. One is a body on frame, and the other one is an auto body. They're completely different vehicles. They look the same. That's about it.
Is it the most square look of all those vehicles you just listed as far as the back end goes?
Well, the Rivian, the R2 looks like the R1S. The two Rivians look alike, even though they're very different vehicles, they look alike.
Right.
The Audi Q6 looks like, you know, like what you wouldn't expect a Q5 or a Q7 to look like. Looks like it looks like an Audi SUV. The BMW looks like a BMW SUV, and same with the Mercedes. And the Tesla Y is its own thing. And that's fine. And it's all the more fine that it is the best-selling electric vehicle on the planet. It's not the best-selling vehicle.
Well, we both agreed in a previous show that the R2 is going to be very successful, I think.
Well, we don't know that. And
I think so. I mean,
I hope so. And it's attractive. And I you know, if it remained exclusive enough.
The price point of it is much more attractive than the R1 from the standpoint of cost factor for people not able to pay the R1 and some of these other lines of vehicles price points, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Anyway, that's my take on those cars and the usefulness of using AI.
Okay, what's going on in Europe? You're over there for this show. Anything new to talk about, or is it all the same stuff? Lots of cameras keeping everybody going.
Their cameras are a little more regulated than our 80,000 flock cameras that we've talked briefly about, that are monitoring our roads and not only picking up license plates, but actually building a print of the car you're driving, the color of the car, the shape of the car, so it can determine what the model of the car is, what you put on your roof rack, if you have a roof rack, what cars you drive with in convoy.
You're talking about European cameras?
No.
The flock cameras.
The flock cameras.
Oh, okay.
And we have a lot of cameras. We just kind of misuse them or they can be easily misused. But speaking of Europe, I've been driving here for 3 or 4 days, and I'm just, you know, reiterating what we already knew, is that driving on open roads, on public roads, has just become a means of transportation. I mean, you're not going fast anywhere. There's absolutely no need to have powerful cars. And you can't have fun. So we're going back to purely utilitarian modes of transport. And that's fine.
Yep.
And we're still lucky to have nice roads where we live and have our little sports cars or fun cars. They don't have to be fast. They just can be fun.
Well, are the Europeans? What do the Europeans have for fun sports cars? Alfa Romeos,
same as ours.
I mean, uh, Same as ours. Okay.
Let me get back to the utilitarian cars here. Every good looking, I kind of see a new SUV, not SUV, but a nice, like something that looks a little like a Tesla, something between a 3 and a Tesla Y, but it looks a little more substantial and have a little more presence. Guess what it is? Yeah. BYD.
Okay.
They're all over the place.
You think there are going to be a lot of those production cars looking a lot like our cars?
Those cars are going to look like
what Range Rover looking likes and that kind of thing. I saw on Motor Trend magazine the latest Kia Telluride. From some angles, it looks just like a Range Rover.
And it does.
I think some of these Asian factories and maybe the Chinese, all that, are trying to imitate their styles to make them look like these cars that look alike as opposed to standing out.
I don't think so. I think they've gone through a period where they hire designers that have come from European studios or American studios. Car design studios are still primarily, many of them in California. And I don't know about the Chinese manufacturers. But I'm pretty sure that some of them do have design studios also in California. And that's where the trends start. And I think both the Kia, and the Hyundai SUVs have a look alike the Range Rover a little bit. But I think they're carving their own style, and I think the Chinese are going to do the same thing, and they're basically being creative and responding to market trends. And maybe some of the quote unquote legacy manufacturers are just stuck with their styles or not as bold as for instance Hyundai. I mean, look at what they did with the Santa Fe. They had a good looking vehicle and went to a new model and it became radically different. And we've discussed it before. And from one model to another, within the brand, they don't necessarily stick to the same style. Whereas if you look at a Mercedes, from a distance, you can't tell if it's a C-Class, an E-Class, or an S-Class. Same thing with BMW, same thing with Audi. And you can argue the pros and cons of each approach. But I think, the Kia EV9, and the Telluride are great looking vehicles. They're very bold designs.
Yes, I agree.
I don't know where we started with this. I went on the slide.
Styling. I got onto it a little bit with the squareness idea of what wagons used to look like and functionality, and you poo-pooed it and said it's all about styling and sleekness. Hell with the design of the actual body of the vehicle. If it doesn't look good, don't build it.
I didn't say quite that, but you did read my mind. You did read my mind.
Yes, I did. I think that I'm watching the Asian car makers. I guess I should say Hyundai and Kia, trying to make inroads in some of the areas where they haven't. And that off-road vehicle that looked like a Bronco or a Toyota Land Cruiser or something that Kia is about to bring into their country is a case in point.
What we've done, what our buying habits have shown or kind of indicated is that we will be driving Chinese cars in 10 years. I mean, when I say we...
I think you're absolutely right. No question.
You cannot convince me otherwise. If you look...
I won't try.
First of all, we buy Chinese every other type of consumer product there is. Second, I don't think that, this idea that they build lower tech or lower quality product is
that's
just
a thing in the past.
Very way past. And if you look at the inroads they've made in both Europe, in Mexico, and what they're about to do in Canada, there's no way. Hopefully, we get to get see some of those products in the U.S. But anyway, we'll see.
Well, with that, this has been Car Keys with Jay and Robin, and we'll see you in another week or so.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.